Today's scripture is Ephesians 3, 1 through 12, and I'm reading from the New International Version. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you, that is the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to people in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise of Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ Jesus and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. That's the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
This is Epiphany Sunday, because Epiphany was yesterday, that is to say the 13th day after Christmas. 12th day of Christmas ends, and then we have Epiphany, which is either a day or a season. Really, it needs to be a season because there's so much in Epiphany. This is part of this huge season of celebration: Christmas, the birth, Epiphany, which includes so many things, baptism of the Lord and various events. And it is also, let's see, actually, technically, this is the first Sunday after Epiphany, because Epiphany was yesterday after the Epiphany. And Epiphany is also King's Day, or Three Kings Day, because the gospel scripture is the story in Matthew where the camels and the wise folks arrive with their gifts. And so we have this gift-giving tradition carried on through the Christmas season beyond. It's interesting to look at the Gospels. Luke gives us a full and detailed account of things that happened with Mary before the birth of Jesus, about the birth of Jesus, Jesus as a baby, Jesus as a child, a lot more information about the early life of Jesus than any of the other Gospels. And Matthew gives us one detail that is not in any of the other Gospels, including Luke, and that is this visit. There's a lot of things we don't know about this visit, but one of the things that we know about Matthew is that he was really concerned to explain the prophecies. Matthew was frequently harking back to the prophets and explaining how things that were happening in the life of Jesus were things that were foretold. And so we see references to Psalms, and particularly Isaiah, in this story and in others that Matthew is presenting. And what he's saying here is that these guys have come from far, far, far away, over an unknown period of time, following the star, because they were watching the stars, they were paying attention to the signs. They were not Jewish. Matthew is actually a very Jewish writer, and these guys were not Jewish. They were from far away in the East, and they came in response to the star, and they brought gifts. And this fulfills some of the things that we see in Psalms and Isaiah about people traveling and bringing gifts and recognizing the center of the Jewish faith as the center of all faith. So the word epiphany is that aha moment. It's where, you know, I've had an epiphany, I get it now, I understand. And the word is not used here, but look at the words that are used in this few chapters here, few verses from Ephesians. Paul talks about mystery. He mentions that several times in several different ways. He talks about revelation, things being revealed, things being made known. And he talks about God's purpose. So epiphany is this revelation, realization of something that was previously unknown. And this word mystery gets used a lot, the mystery of God, and we do tend to say, well, you know, we can't know this about God because it's a mystery. Really, mystery means unknown. I mean, when we're reading our mystery stories, we don't know who did it, whatever it is. We don't know how it was done. There's things we don't know, and that's why it's a mystery. That's why it's unknown. One of the things we talk about as being mystery is the Trinity. That is definitely unknown. How can this be? Now, we do know through faith, through Scripture, that God is present in Father, Son, and Spirit, that this Trinity thing is true. We know that. We can't necessarily explain it. And I'm sure I've told you before, but my rabbi friend says, what is this Trinity thing? And somebody will say to him, well, it's a mystery. And he says, that's a cop-out. And I have to agree with him. That is a cop-out. We can't just say it's a mystery and go on. And Paul agrees with that because he says this mystery has been unknown throughout ages, but it is now revealed. It is known. That's what the revelation is about. Not only the book, the Revelation of St. John, which is a huge mystery in itself, but also a revealing. It has its explanations there. But all the revelations that we experience. So the mystery is not the way we think of mystery stories as some kind of a puzzle or problem to be solved or deciphered. It is a gift that we are to receive. And that's what the revelation is. So Paul is talking about the mystery is made known by revelation in verse 3. He talks about the mystery now being revealed in verse 5. He talks about everyone seeing the plan of the mystery in verse 9. It's all about understanding and gaining knowledge. And just like in the mysteries that we watch and the mysteries that we read, the clues are there. The clues are there from the beginning. When the author put together the story, the author knew what the end was going to be. And the author makes the details match. You know, all these little coincidences come together so that it works out the way it's supposed to, because the author, of course, is the creator of the mystery and is in charge. Well, God is the creator of God's mysteries and is in charge and makes things work out and also gives us clues along the way so that if we're attentive, we can see these clues. We can see. Now, one thing that is so obvious that it tends to get overlooked is verse 6. And I love the way that the NIV stated it when Connie read it. It was super clear. But the mystery is simply this, that Gentiles have become fellow heirs, members of the same body, and sharers in the promise of Christ Jesus. The mystery is that from the beginning, God has intended not just the Jews to come to salvation, but everybody, the Gentiles, everybody. And the clues are there. Abraham was blessed to be a blessing to all the nations of the world. The Psalms talk about kings and nations streaming to Mount Zion and worshiping there and being one. Isaiah talks about the mystery being proclaimed and the king's coming. And those prophecies from Isaiah show up again in Revelation, where John tells us that when the new heaven and the new earth come down, there is eternal light. Epiphany is a celebration of light because light gives us vision. There is eternal light, and the gates of the city are never closed. That is a beautiful image of the mystery of God, that the gates are open and all are welcome to come in. So the clues are there. People don't always see the clues. They don't always understand the clues. They don't always put the clues together. That's still true. We still see that when we're watching our mystery movies or when we're trying to figure things out in our lives. We don't necessarily see the clues and put them together. But here it's being made really explicit. Paul says, this is the mystery. This is what it means. And Paul, of course, was particularly an apostle to the Gentiles. He was one who went beyond the edges to find new people and preach to them and share the good news with them and reveal the mystery to them. And of course, he also had to reveal the mystery to the people that he'd left behind within Judaism, because they didn't understand this mystery yet, that it was open to all, that God was opening the gates of the heavenly city to all of God's children. So yes, it's a mystery. It's a beautiful mystery. And I don't know about you, but when I sometimes go back and re-watch a movie, a mystery movie that I particularly like, or reread an Agatha Christie that appealed to me, the fact that I know the answer doesn't spoil it. The surprise is nice, but knowing the answer means I can spend more time looking at the clues, figuring how things go together, seeing how things work. It enhances my enjoyment. So it doesn't spoil the mystery to have the answer revealed. The mystery is just something that's unknown. The revelation is the answer. And that's what we celebrate in Epiphany with the arrival of the three wise men, or however many there were, with the arrival of the wise ones who came to visit and to give gifts, with the baptism of Jesus that we're going to celebrate next week, and all the miracles that Jesus did that made the intention known that the mystery is that all are welcome through the open gates of God's kingdom. Thanks be to God. Amen.